I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Here's something you're really going to love.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Todd Bowles, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Did you watch any of the Tom Brady roast?
I caught snippets of it. I'm a huge Nikki Glaser fan.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. How did you fall for that? Even Gronk was like, me no, that not real money.
Today's guests, Turner Sports play-by-play announcer Brian Anderson, UCLA head coach Deshaun Foster, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
We're clapping for ourselves.
Let's go.
Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, SiriusXM Odyssey. Our podcast listeners, we say a good Wednesday hello to you all right here in the middle of this week in the month of May when the NBA playoffs and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are white hot to the touch. Two playoff hockey games went to overtime last night, and there's nothing like overtime playoff hockey, is there? The NBA second round got some first seeds through with very little blood drawn in their series. We'll discuss that. Brian Anderson, the man who's doing the play-by-play of Game 2 with Reggie Miller tonight in Madison Square Garden, will be joining us short time, first up in this show. Hour number two, an in-studio guest, Deshaun Foster, the head coach of UCLA football, is going to come down the 405 and hang with us. It'll be a good time with him. And then hour number three, Albert Breer, because we miss talking football. Breer will be joining us in hour number three, and you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial on this program. Good to see you over there, Christopher.
Hey,
how are
Rich.
You?
I'm great.
DJ Mikey
great.
D is in D's nuts.
Oh,
good to see you.
I was going to sneeze. I'm sorry. Good morning, Rich.
Oh, whoa. Good. Thank you for giving us the heads up of, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Del Tufo is allergic to this program. He'll be out Friday. Those things are not related. Good to see you, TJ. How are you? Candles lit?
Candles lit. It's great. How you doing, Rich?
I'm great, man. So listen, let's just get started. On yesterday's program, we had the Larry O'Brien Trophy sitting right here on this desk. And I started the show saying, who wants to be MJ? Who wants to be Michael Jordan? Is it the great Ant-Man who is crushing it right now, Anthony Edwards, for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are now up 2-0 on the defending NBA champs? They have yet to lose a playoff game in these playoffs. And then you have Jalen Brunson, who came off of a 40-point game for a fourth straight time in the playoffs. Last guy to do that was Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Jalen Brunson goes for 5 in a row, which would separate himself from Bernard King and Michael Jordan and get him one behind the logo. Ooh, for the all-time record. We'll see if that happens tonight, right? So I come on the air today saying, okay, the one seeds have kind of proven that they deserve to be the one seeds in these NBA playoffs.
Factual.
You know, and let's start with the team that everybody thinks is going to win it all. The Boston Celtics.
Look good.
They made 18 three-pointers last night. Derek White made 7 of them.
That's how we do it.
And, you know, that was the difference. I mean, the Celtics took 46. There were 88 three-point shots hoisted up in this game in TD Garden last night. Celtics took shot 46. The Cavs shot 42. The Celtics made 18. The Cavs made 11. You could probably do the math right there. I mean, we can do the math. That's 21 points right there, and the Celtics won by 25. It's kind of the difference maker right there. And, you know, the Celtics shot the lights out, did what they had to do, and if there's anybody out there who's wondering why that happened, it's clear. It's because Chris Brockman didn't take a photograph with the Larry O'Brien trophy yesterday. That's exactly why that happened.
I feel justified.
Because had he taken a photograph with the Larry O'Brien trophy, do you know how much iron would have been drawn?
I would have lost.
The clanking noises you would have heard last night, what is that noise? Were there pipes breaking in my house?
Or what's going on?
It's because my friend Brockman did not take a photograph with the Larry O'Brien trophy. Let me ask you this question with all sincerity, though. With all sincerity. When did Derek White become Steph Curry?
When did that exactly happen? This guy.
Oh, man.
Can you answer that question?
I'll tell you what happened. Like, when he came home and became a member of the
Ball Brotherhood.
But he was even doing that when the hair was hanging on last couple years.
Not like this.
Like this guy, Derek like Havlicek.
Yeah, we were talking about just like who's your all playoff team so far.
Yeah.
Derek White has to be on it. He's been the best Celtics player through in the five playoff wins.
Let me tell you this. 28 three-pointers in the last six playoff games for the Celtics. That is the most in the history of the Boston Celtics as long as there's been a three-point line.
That's absurd.
And they as you pointed out, that's what they do. They launch
threes.
Do you know in the last 21 games that Derek White has just attempted a dozen threes? The Celtics record is 21-0. 21 straight wins when Derek White attempts 12 three-pointers. That's all you got to do. Just keep hoisting him, Derek. But when did he, as a matter of fact, back-to-back playoff games with at least seven three-pointers he's made now. The other guys who have done it are Desmond Bain.
Okay.
Curry and Clay, the Splash Brothers. That's the list in postseason history as long as they're in the three-point line.
Great list.
I'm being straight up with you. When did he become this player? Was it in the finals against the Warriors a couple years ago?
It feels like he really
really
took a level up this year, though. You know, it was like Derek White's a good all-around player. He's a great defender. He's one of the best guards at getting block shots. And then, he can hit a couple clutch threes when you need him. But it seems like this year, you maybe having Drew around, maybe having Porzingis around.
But he doesn't have Porzingis right now.
I'm saying opening up the floor gives him a lot more open looks.
Hey, listen,
he's knocking him down.
As long as Tatum doesn't have to carry the team. Remember in that finals a couple years ago, he was basically on fumes.
On fumes. Jaylen Brown was struggling, turning the ball over, missing free throws.
Tatum
felt like he had to do it all. And
not now.
He ran out of gas. Not anymore.
He had a pedestrian, 18-9 last night.
Brown had
32.
Yeah, very ho-hum.
White. I mean, my gosh. Spider Mitchell had 33 points, and the Cavs got within 25. So there's that. And then the other number one seed. A lot of people are learning slowly but surely who the Oklahoma City Thunder are, right? They're learning that they have the coach of the year. They're learning they've got an MVP candidate in SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They also learned that there's two Jalen Williams, one J-A-L-E-N, one J-A-Y-L-I-N. By the way, the Jalen Williamses last night combined for 29 points on 11 of 22 shooting. And the team set a franchise record 29 assists in the playoffs. And SGA had damn near a triple-double, 29-9-9. While Mr. Triple-Double for the Mavericks, Luka Doncic, did not have a good night. He's now under 40% shooting in these playoffs.
Yikes.
And remember he said he let down Kyrie in the first round and then, of course, turned things around. And he has not performed well last night. It's kind of wild that Luka's line was 19-9-6 with two steals. And we were like, what's up?
Well, that game that he said he let down Kyrie, he had a 29-point triple-double.
And five turnovers last night as well, 6 of 19 shooting. He's, as I mentioned, under 40% shooting in the playoffs now and had this to say when asked kind of what gives last night.
Who cares? We lost, man. We just got to move on to the next one. I got to be better. We got to be better and just, we're known for game one struggling, but we got to focus. They're a great team, great defensive team, great offensive team. So it's not going to be easy at all. We got to play very good basketball and focus basketball for 48 minutes.
How can you be better?
Effort, making shots.
Yeah, I know.
Bina, how can you be better? I mean, you're looking for a soundbite there when you ask, how can you be better? You know, not, what was it? Not missing. How are you going to answer
when
that?
Shoot it, it goes in.
They got back at it on Thursday. And I'm asking you this guy. I asked Brockman a question about his team. When did Derek White become Steph Curry? I'll ask you this question.
You know, my teams are out, though, you know.
I understand that because it involves your team. What if, those years ago,
okay,
when Kawhi walked into the Malibu home of Doc Rivers and said to him, let's get Paul George, I'm coming. And the Jets scrambled for the Clips. What if he walked into Doc Rivers' house and said, I'll play with SGA, I'm coming.
Ooh, baby.
You know, Chris.
What
Chris,
if that had happened?
Chris about a month ago, and I was like, I
see what the kid can do. Yeah. Or I believe, you know, what if they said.
Well,
they
I don't think anybody thought he'd be an MVP in 3 years.
I get it.
So.
I know.
I
know that there's a little bit of revisionism here.
But still, I mean, it's a fun what if.
But what if he walked into that Malibu home and said, I'm coming. Just, you know. Let's see if we can get a little more firepower. I'll play with SGA. I'm not looking for PG. I'll play with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's revisionist because Kawhi at that point of his career probably wouldn't have said that about a then rookie SGA.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and I brought this up to Chris about a month ago, and I'm like, I don't know if the Clippers would be in any different position, maybe this year, but previous to this. The only thing better is we keep all those draft picks and SGA. So now, you know, maybe we end up with a Jalen Williams, one of the two of them. You know, maybe
I don't know.
Maybe we have a Lou Dort.
Could you imagine if that had happened?
Whew. Clippers would still be the 4 seed?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Well, maybe they would be because Kawhi would have gotten hurt.
Yeah. But you also got to look at
I don't know.
SGA's had a chance to really spread his wings and be a man. He would not have had that opportunity.
Maybe not.
On the Clippers.
And he had that year with Chris Paul. Chris Paul kind of maybe taught him some ropes there. Yeah.
So
just decided to throw that one out there.
But for the next 5 years, yeah, there's no question. We should have held on to this.
The amount of young talent in the NBA right now. Just look at the two guys leading the West right now, Ant and SGA.
Well, the
not even to mention
the general belief, I think, right now. An overreaction Wednesday is it's T-Wolves versus the Thunder to see what's what.
Feels like it.
In the West to see if they can take on the Celtics, with all due respect to what goes down tonight in Madison Square Garden. Because, again, if Tatum's going to go 0-for-5 from 3 and shoot 7 of 19 from the floor and the Celtics just flick that right off their shoulder.
No big deal.
That's a tough one, and this is without Porzingis. My goodness gracious! So, speaking of Madison Square Garden and not being able to see anything coming, I got an Instagram video sent to me by Don, money manager to the Stars this morning. My guy, it was one of those videos from June of 2022.
Hi.
After Jalen Brunson. Or July of 2022, after Jalen Brunson had signed with the Knicks, you know, and Durant was with the Nets. And there's a whole bunch of videos of people in sports talk television programs.
Saying how terrible it was.
Saying how the Knicks just blew it.
Yep.
And how, you know, Jalen Brunson ain't it. And the video is about a minute and a half long, and he sent it to me, and I'm like holding my breath because you know how I've been talking about how Jalen Brunson has got me back into being a Knick fan again and how he's made me feel about this team in a way that I haven't felt since I was 13, 14 years old, and Bernard King was my guy, number 30 in your program, number one in my heart for the Knicks. And how he has restored my love for the team and faith in the organization and has lit up the city. And anytime I get those videos sent to me, I'm like holding my breath.
Yeah, you don't want to be in those videos.
I don't want to be in those videos. And everyone was in it. Name somebody who does this job for a living.
I think I saw this video.
Dan made it. DP made it. And I was getting through it. It's about a minute plus in. You could see, you know, how much time's left in the video.
Yeah,
when you're watching these reels on Instagram, you could see that white line go across the bottom of your screen. And I'm like rooting for it. I'm rooting for it to end before I see my face. And I was the last one.
Oh, they got you.
Saying that Durant is not with the Knicks and the Knicks feel like they're going to be fine essentially with Jalen Brunson. I said those words into this microphone from this chair in front of God and country.
Yeah, but at that, I wrote back to Don, money manager to the Stars.
I wrote back to him, your financial advisor, executive. I'm sorry, he might not like the way I'm referring to him. I wrote back to him, at least I wasn't alone.
Yeah, you were not.
But
everybody thought that.
Damn it, I did make that video.
The last guy?
The last guy. I almost made it. I almost made it through.
Like
I was white knuckling
like
that
128,
thing.
128, you're like, yeah, so close.
I'm through it. I made
so
it.
So close.
Like there. At the end of the tunnel, the light was so bright on that white line running out of time.
But you weren't as adamant as a lot of other people.
Well, I was upset. Like the Rants with the Nets and the Knicks feel like they're just going to take this guy on the Mavericks and give him nine figures. Really, that's what they're going to do? And as you pointed out yesterday, it's the greatest bargain in the NBA.
Oh, I mean, he's worth three times that right now.
He's like the Supermax.
He's incredible.
He has totally shut everybody up and flipped the entire script, man.
You got to figure KD might be looking back on that and going, maybe I made a mistake. Because two teams later for him could be with the Knicks.
And the Knicks take the court tonight. Cannot wait for that game. I am totally set. 8 Eastern, 5 o'clock.
They got the night to themselves.
That's the night to themselves.
Good.
And the three men on the call. Stan Van Gundy. Reggie Miller in the house tonight.
Reggie.
And our next guest, Brian Anderson. The voice of the Knicks and Pacers series on TNT is about to join us.
Let's do it.
So, that's the setup. First of all, mea culpa, my bad.
Can you send this video to me?
I'll send it to you on the DM. You'll see it.
I want to watch it.
It was not. It's not good for anybody. It's like that Seinfeld line, right? It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody.
SAS kicked that video off, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I saw part of it.
Okay. I saw.
Oh, he was in it. I think he made multiple appearances in it. I think he might be the only one who made multiple. And Nick Wright's in it. I'm in it. I believe Colin's in it. Dan's in it. We all got a piece of that.
So you weren't alone.
So happy to be so wrong. Because I never thought anybody would ever. The gravitational pull of the Dolan wormhole is so strong. So strong. And this guy pulled me out of it. And can he come up with a fifth 40-point game tonight? I hope he doesn't need it. Because the Knicks, I don't want them on fumes. If they get past the Pacers and then they're going to stroll in a TD Garden on fumes.
No, thank you. You don't want that.
No, thank you. Unless there's no fumes, because Josh Hart's got a deep tank, man. And the rest of this team has as well. And can't wait to talk about it with Brian Anderson of TNT. That's next. Albert Breer, Hour 3. Deshaun Foster is making a way to our studio from Westwood Campus. Brian Anderson is next. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Love listening to this man call a game, whether it was the Brewers back in the day or some basketball right now, certainly on TNT, at the mic for a huge game in Madison Square Garden tonight between the Knicks and the Pacers. It's Brian Anderson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to chat with you, Brian.
Yay. Oh, man, great to be here. I'm finally on your show with you. I've been such an F-list
No, that's not true. Don't say that.
I feel like an incredible jump up.
You have to be careful, Brian. Brian, you have to be careful with that conversation because the person who does the most guest hosting on this program is my wife, and she does not consider guests that she has F-list guests. You know what I'm saying? She
doesn't. I appreciate that commentary.
Be careful when you tread lightly. At any rate,
I didn't say anything about the host. I'm talking only about the guests.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
You know who kisses the ring in there? There's only one king.
Good to see you, Brian. What's the energy like in that building? What is it like?
Oh, man, it's so good. There's nothing like Madison Square Garden. And just a playoff games in Madison Square Garden, it's been crazy here in this area, particularly with the Rangers doing what they're doing and then the Knicks doing what they're doing. And basically every night it's been a game in Madison Square Garden. So it's just it's a great vibe. It's a totally different vibe for Rangers games. I was just texting with Sean McDonough, actually, and he's called a number of these games. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be here next week too. So it is interesting comparing and contrasting, and are we going to get a Knicks and Celtics and Bruins and Rangers conference finals that could all shape out. The opponents of those teams don't want to hear that, but that's still on the board. So it's really cool. It's really electric. It's loud from the start. People are in their seats from the beginning. Nothing quite like it. You know, you got Fat Joe running in your face, arguing about calls that are made, wanting you to demand justice. And while we're on the air, when we're in commercial, while we're on the air.
So Fat Joe is coming up to you and trying to avail himself of your replay monitor?
We give him the stat sheets. You know how we get the stat sheets?
Sure.
Every time out, you know, at the table, we make sure we pass them down to 50 Cent and Fat Joe and Ben Stiller. Like, those guys are into it, man. They're coaching the team right now.
You're a factor, Brian, man. You're mixing it up. And speaking of mixing it up, I mean, my goodness, tonight, head on a swivel because Reggie Miller is part of tonight's broadcast.
Yes.
Correct, Brian?
That's correct. We're flying him in. So he's been on the other series. He's been on Denver, Minnesota, and they're, as far as TNT goes, they're dark for a few days. So, he had nothing better to do, so we flew him in. We're going to put him in like a Pope Mobile kind of setting, maybe under the basket. Or we're going to bring the Davis brothers in. So if the Davis brothers can make it, they'll sit right behind us, and then we'll be good. But I've worked a lot of games at MSU with Reggie, including the Stephen Curry three-point record-setting game. And he gets a lot of love there, except when the Pacers are in this setting. So there would be no love for Reggie Miller tonight. It's going to be great.
Yeah, Pacers playoff game in Madison Square Garden. Now, this is where all, I guess, good tidings. And hey, Reggie, great to see you. None of that tonight. I can't wait, man. It's great. Brian Anderson here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know how much conversation you have with Jalen Brunson before a game, or if it's anything like an NFL game where you do get a pre-broadcast chit chat with a star or not. I'd love to any interaction you've had with him to see what's going on with him as his ascent is through the roof right now.
Yeah, not much interaction from my seat. You know, I try to leave those guys alone. We divide and conquer. So Chris Haynes is our reporter, and he spends a lot of time with those guys. And then our postgame interviews, obviously, we interact with him a little bit.
Yes.
But I've covered Jalen and know him well and covered him a lot in college. You know, I was doing Fox Big East basketball back in those days quite a bit. And, you know, he was always kind of the same player for Villanova. Never dreamed he'd be this kind of player in the NBA for the New York Knicks. But to his credit, he continues to get better. His mechanics, the way he plays stylistically, playing off 2 feet is, you know, if you want to get deep in the weeds, that's something that all those Villanova guys do. The shot fakes, playing off 2 feet, that's a Jay Wright staple. And they've taken that to the NBA, all of those guys, and it's made a huge difference because they're not always the most athletic players. Certainly Brunson isn't, but he is one of the strongest, and he knows the game so well. He's grown up in the game with his dad. His dad's right there on the sidelines, part of Coach Thibodeau's staff. So there's that dynamic to it as well. But, man, what he's doing, like he's marching up the Knicks' iconic ladder. I'm not going to give him – Clyde Frazier yet or Patrick Ewing yet, but he's marching up that ladder now. And if they go on and they do something great, obviously if they win a finals, he will be on that list. But even if they get to a conference finals or get to an NBA finals, I mean, he's starting to become that guy in New York. And it's kind of been that way all year. And he's kept doing what he did all year in the playoffs. And so, man, there's a fever pitch for Jalen Brunson right now in this city.
Yeah, I grew up a ferry ride away from where you are, Brian, in Staten Island. And as a teenager, loving Bernard King, I have the same feeling right now. Like, I truly feel like a teenager watching Brunson as he matches Bernard King's records over and over again, or surpasses them. And tonight, if he gets a 40-point game tonight, he would surpass Bernard King's franchise record for most 40-point games in a row in the playoffs. The question is, though, is it necessary for him to do it? Because the rotation for the Knicks, talk about tightening a rotation. They're Precious Achiuwa got 4 minutes in game one. We know Mitchell Robinson was pressed into service because Hartenstein got into foul trouble. I mean, Deuce McBride's not getting much time. Well, clearly Brunson's doing what he's doing, and Josh Hart's turning into, as my colleague T.J. Jefferson said, into Dennis Rodman with a three-point shot. So I'm wondering what your sense is of Rick Carlisle's sense of the Knicks rotation is and what the Pacers might affect tonight.
Yeah, well, right off the bat, because of the Mitchell Robinson injury, Achiuwa's going to play more. I think that was a little bit of a canary in the cave moment for Tibbs last game, because Achiuwa did play early, but I don't think the matchups were necessarily working in his favor. He knew he had Robinson. He didn't know how compromised Robinson was going to be. Well, we know all that now, and Robinson's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Poor guy's had 4 surgeries in the last 6 years on that ankle. So he's not a factor. You're already without Randall. And Bogdanovich is out too. So he's not coming back. So that kind of sets the rotation as it is. I don't think Tibbs necessarily wants to play 6, although he's always been a tight rotation coach, especially in the playoffs. But I think McBride's minutes will fluctuate based on matchups. I think Achiuwa is going to play a little bit more, but really in the NBA playoffs, the breaks are longer, but because of us, the timeouts are longer. You buy 30 seconds there, and then you're playing basically every other day. And remember, coming into game one, they had 3 days off. So those would be the reasons Tibbs would give you on why he can afford to do that. He would also remind you that every other coach has a pretty soft bench as well. Now, the Pacers aren't that way, but To answer the question, do they have enough stamina? I think they do. I think they're trained for it. They play this way all year. This is not different. So the minutes maybe slightly a tick up, especially for guys like Josh Hart who don't have the ball in their hands all the time. But it's generally how they play, and they play a lot of close games. They've already had, seven games right now. So there's six of their seven games have been clutch games, so meaning within 5 points, 5 minutes or less. So they're playing a lot of close, hard-fought, grind-them-out kind of games, and they've flourished in the fourth quarters of all these games. If you go into, like, second-chance points and offensive rebounds and, you know, in the last 4.5 minutes in game one, they didn't miss a shot or a free throw. They were 5 for 5 from the field, 5 for 5 from the line. So that doesn't present itself as a tired team, even though all of those guys were logging huge minutes, especially the Villanova three. So I do think it's sustainable. And the way they play, possession-oriented, when it matters, you know, the guy who's got the burden is Brunson because the ball's in his hands so much. But for the most part, they get to the foul line and they try to work clock offensively. So, you know, they're minimizing possessions, trips up and down the floor. I think it is sustainable. I really do. I think it's and Boston's rotation's really tight right now too, except they're just blowing out everybody. Mm-hmm. All of their wins are 20-point wins. So I don't know who's got a better chance to win games, those who are tested or those who are rested. That's a big question right now.
Brian Anderson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you get that line from Walt Frazier? That rhymed. I mean, have you been around Clyde? Rested and tested.
I have been hanging out with very famous rappers.
Sounds like
I feel like I'm absorbing
rubbing
a lot
off.
Of that.
It's rubbing off. Yes. As they're
you know how Stan, and I roll. We're kind of down there with Fat Joe and Stan.
Do you have to tell Stan who they are? Does Stan?
Oh no, he knows.
Oh, he's in.
You know?
Okay. All right.
Fat Joe has a Stan Van Gundy line in one of his songs. You know, he gave Stan Van Gundy street cred. So we're trying to get Tracy Morgan's gold chain on Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, please.
The big rope chain.
Yeah.
That's our next goal.
I think all you have to do is ask. I think he'd be game for that, Brian.
Oh, no. Tracy's in. He's already took it. He took it off. Stan just wouldn't wear it. It was like 10 pounds, I swear. It came straight from Fort Knox. I go, I think there's an insurance issue with this. Fantastic. Me holding this chain.
I love it. Brian Anderson here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting set to call game two of Knicks Pacers tonight on TNT, 8 Eastern time, with Stan Van Gundy, Reggie Miller, and Chris Haynes part of the crew. Best team you've eyeballed, though, in person this year is which? Which team?
I would have said, so it's still probably a true statement, Denver, because I haven't eyeballed Denver in the playoffs and in this series with Minnesota. So I had Denver as kind of the team. I'm really shocked at what's happened to them. And I know they're banged up, and Murray's injury is a big one. I'm not surprised by Minnesota and how great they've been. I just didn't think they'd go in and dominate Denver. So I will say Denver, and I'll stick with that, even though it doesn't feel great right now.
No.
But in the East, Boston for sure. Boston, we had Boston, Miami, and those games were a drag. I mean, Boston just, other than game two, when Miami shot the lights out and made 23 threes, which was a good game, but Boston, in all of their wins, it was a no contest literally in the first half in most of those games, and they kind of did the same thing yesterday. So Celtics, to me, look formidable. They can beat you in so many ways. And we'll see if Denver can come off the mat. I think the Murray injury is going to be really interesting to see how he can play through this, if he can be effective at all. Probably needs a few days. He probably could have used a one-game suspension. But I think he could probably use a window, but I don't know if they have time to give him a window. But well, I had Denver and Boston all year.
Well, and in terms of Anthony Edwards, I mean, it's somebody who chooses words for a living live like you do. I think you'll appreciate it. I think the only word to use appropriately with what Anthony Edwards is doing is what we are witnessing. I think that's the proper word, because you get the sense of we are witnessing something with him. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that subject matter.
Yeah, I feel like we, you know, obviously, you know, the Michael Jordan comps come to mind, and there's a great debate offline about Michael Jordan or not, but the things he's doing are Jordan-like, and I think it's fair to to talk about that, and you know, both sides of the ball too. And MJ was such a great defender, so that's what's so impressive about Anthony Edwards and how young he is, and he's just kind of the perfect NBA player for this modern game. He's got all the swagger, but he's got great respect for opponents and opposing players, and he says all the right things. He's hilarious, and he's great, and he's showing up when the lights are the brightest right now. So all in on Anthony Edwards. He looks like he's got a great career. I remember Tom Crean, who was his coach at Georgia, used to tell us, and I'm friendly with Tom, and he raved about this guy when he was at the collegiate level briefly, but he just said, this guy's got it. He's, you know, he was referencing Dwayne Wade, who would coach at Marquette. And, you know, there's very few guys that have the it factor, and he certainly got it. And I think there have been a few guys the last few years. The Joker comes to mind. You know, he kind of emerged as a second rounder that became this great player, and he still is a great player. But it does feel like a little bit of a changing of the guard right now in the NBA, and these great young talented players, names that aren't, you know, haven't been on the register here in the last few years, are starting to stake their claim here to the NBA and what it's going to be in the next few seasons, maybe even the next decade. And Edwards is at the top of that list right now, in my opinion.
Brian Anderson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go with your on your New York day there, Brian, I'm going to widen out this conversation and ask you, from your years of calling Brewers games, to lend us your favorite Bob Uecker story, please.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you have?
I can't. I've sworn to the man I wouldn't share his story. But I will say my yes. favorite public-facing story I can tell you is when I when I first got to the Brewers, which was 2007. So Bob Uecker and I, we leave at the same time. So he's on the radio, I'm on television. Mm-hmm. Go to the elevator, we go down, and he parks his car inside the stadium. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about Brewers culture, that's where there's only one car inside the stadium, through the, you know, the garage door inside the stadium. That's where he parks. And so I didn't park there and will never park there, but it was always a race for me to go get my car, which was, you know, outside that lot, and try to get in my car, get down to that area as fast as I can. And here's why. Because when Bob Uecker leaves and we go up through the stoplight and then we kind of get ready to get on the highway, there's a police officer there who is manually controlling the red and green light, the traffic lights. And he's a traffic flow cop. And so when Bob Uecker pulls up to that light, they will turn that light green for one car, his car. And if you're close enough to him, they may let me go too. Nice. So I always tried to pull up right behind Bob's car. And I'm telling you, as soon as Bob goes by, that light goes red again. And I've seen it a dozen times, and I'm always trying to be in that little convoy with Bob Uecker. So I don't know if that's like,
no, it's,
you
great.
Know, Bob Uecker story, but there's really, he's so funny. He's a comedic genius. Those 4 o'clock bus rides back when he was traveling, I swear, man, it's some of the greatest moments of my life. You know, the 20 to 30 minutes to the ballpark on that bus. And it's usually just the broadcasters and the director of team travel. There's, you know, there's hardly anybody on that bus but us. There's the late bus, and Bob Uecker just riffing off things he sees and people he sees. And one time he drove the bus. He literally backed a giant bus down backwards, down a tunnel in Houston. I mean, he was 85 years old and he backed the bus. It's like, how does this guy back? And there were multiple turns down this tight little tunnel. And he's got players on the bus back, and everybody's got their cameras out. He backs the bus down. I think the bus driver got fired at that point for giving up the keys. But there's so many, man, and it's an honor to have spent all these years with that guy. I love that man just about as much as anybody I've ever been around. He's so great.
Jealous, man. Jealous. What a treasure to have that. And I just love all those things, drafting off of Bob Uecker to get out of to escape the traffic, the post game traffic. And I guess I'm mandated. I'll do this. It's such a low hanging fruit. He parks inside and you park just a bit outside.
Just basically, a bit. No, he never hears that. That's the other thing. I play golf with him and people shout lines at him all day long. And he, you know, it's like just a bit outside is one of them.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Hey, man, I don't care. I'll share this on the air, even though it may be somewhat, you know, embarrassing, but I'll share it anyway. One of the many treasures I've been able to enjoy out here living in Los Angeles is getting to meet Al Michaels and know him and have him here on the set. And anybody who knows Al, he does not hold back opinions, and he will sometimes throw compliments around like a manhole cover. So at one point over a dinner, I said to him, like, who do you like that's out there right now in broadcasting? Like, who do you like calling a game? And he mentioned you. He mentioned you, man. So
yeah, he's awesome.
You know, and he's, I think the two of you talk. You used to be his runner. Is that right?
I was his runner.
I didn't know. I didn't know that.
He didn't know that either. So I was his runner on Monday Night Football, and part of my job was to go fetch his newspapers, and I would bring him, you know, like 8 newspapers back in the days before the World Wide Web.
Yes.
And I would knock on his door, and his hand would come out of the door, and I would hand him his newspapers, and his hand would go back in the door. No, he was great, man. And they, those guys at ABC back in those days, I was still in college, and they knew I wanted to be a play-by-play announcer, and I was moving in that direction, you know. And so they kind of placed me in his, close enough to him, in his orbit anyway. And so I learned a lot from him. I studied him, and then really got to know him later, got to know him better because we played a lot of golf, and then we obviously the Euchre connection, and then we had a lot of mutual friends, and then so over the years, you know, he's just been a really valued mentor to me, and you know, I appreciate him saying that, and you're right, he doesn't really offer many compliments, but when you get one, wow, it's just like a manna from heaven.
No doubt, man. No doubt. But if he likes you, he likes you, and he certainly likes you. Yeah. I can attest to that. And just to wrap this whole thing up, if he sees this, you may get a text raiding the hotel room behind you to tell you what you need to do. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
This would be a no-go for him.
A two-season? It's a two-season? For Al, it's a two-season?
It's a one season. No blackout curtains. No.
Brian, enjoy tonight's game. Enjoy tonight's atmosphere. I'll be tuned in with my kids, and we'll be watching. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Okay, Rich, great to be with you.
Right back at you.
Team, man, you do a great job.
Thank you. Right back at you. That's Brian Anderson, everybody. And by the way, send him his best. All of our best as you walk into Madison Square Garden with Reggie Miller tonight.
Got to get Stan to put the chain on. Like, come on.
Right? That's funny.
That would be amazing.
Oh, Tracy Morgan. He's ready to give it up. But Stan wouldn't put it on.
Stan didn't want to wear it.
A lot of laughs in that chat, which I loved. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why the Madison Square Garden operations crew was working overnight. We'll talk playoff hockey when we come back. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
844-204-RICH. Back on the Rich Eisen Show is the number to dial, 844-204-RICH. So Madison Square Garden, anybody who's been there, it's unlike any spot. It truly is unlike any spot. It sounds different. It's not just the New York voice. I don't know if it's that ceiling that comes, it comes down.
It kind of forms
a point at the over the arena.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't go up as a point. It comes down as a point. I don't know what it is. I grew up there. It sounds amazing. And it's above ground.
Yes.
Where the court, when you go, you have to go up like escalators to get to the court. It's wild. I don't know how the hell they do it. And the folks at Madison Square Garden are switching from the ice to the hardwood every other night right now. Because the Knicks and the Rangers are, Knicks are the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and the Rangers are the top seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs in the NHL. And last night, double overtime win for them over the Carolina Panthers. I'm part of the Panthers. The Carolina Hurricanes, my bad. I got football on the brain. Albert Breer, hour 3. The Carolina Hurricanes, lighting the lamp. Second overtime, coming out with the win. And the Rangers have not lost a game in the playoffs. They're 6-0.
Yep.
Like the Timberwolves. Words I never thought I've ever said in my entire life. You know?
The Panthers had been, I mean, I just did what you did. The Hurricanes have been the favorites in Vegas to win the cup for the last couple weeks. And now that's totally shifted.
Vincent Trocheck, lighting the lamp. Do you have that photograph? What an incredible picture this is. Look at this. The Rangers sent this
out. Wow.
Just the absolute human pig pile up against the glass after he scored, and one of the only faces you see is the goal scorer.
That's
Vincent Trocheck. Look at that
picture.
It reminds me of the photograph, if you remember, after Dame Lillard scored a game winner for the Blazers in the playoffs and kind of found the camera as everyone was around him. There it is. We decided to split screen it. Remember that one over OKC?
Really cool.
Where he's just like, yep, I just won it. Dame time is hit, and everyone's around him.
That was a series winner. Right, we were actually, that happened while we were at Santa's Pub doing karaoke in Nashville during the draft.
That's right.
That moment happened.
I think we had him on the next day, didn't we?
Yeah, Del Tufo was cursing and getting thrown out.
He eliminated OKC.
Yeah. With like a 40-footer.
That was right.
Over Paul George.
I was singing.
I mean, and a double overtime game in the NHL playoffs. And then there was an overtime victory last night for the Avs in Dallas, which was up 3-0 after the first period and then lost 4-3 in overtime. Yep. And, you know, so not a great night for Dallas overall, as Miles Wood comes up with the game winner in overtime last night for the Avs in that Western Conference playoff series, Colorado winning the first of that 7-game series, 4-3 on the road. So Dallas loses in overtime of a playoff hockey game. They led 3-0. And the Mavs get blown out in the second half in Oklahoma City for that one. But there really is nothing like overtime playoff hockey.
Well, every shot on goal.
Every rush.
Ended it.
Every broken up pass.
Every penalty. Every power play moment. Opportunity.
It's similar. There's nothing like it. But playoff baseball, when you feel like every ball
or
is the end
on,
of your
guy
season,
guy gets on base, right? Well, he's
first
score.
Thing, it's over, right? Like
he's
you have a certain sense of dread for the littlest things. Magnify that by 100 when it's playoff hockey.
Yeah, I mean, it's the finality of it. This could be over instantly. Mm.
Hey, can we put that Rangers picture back up real quick? With Trocheck's.
We could do it.
You know what that reminds me of? Remember Game of Thrones, the Battle of the Bastards, when Jon Snow is trapped beneath all the bodies?
Oh, yeah.
And you could just see his face popped up.
I love
all
this
the
picture.
Bodies.
That's incredible.
That's what that looks like.
And then as soon as it's over,
claustrophobia.
You take the ice up and you put the basketball floor down in New York City. And that's why people are saying it feels like 1994 all over again. Knicks lost, Rangers won.
I know.
But feels like it. where they're both marching their way through the playoffs right now.
Man, cup odds are it's wide open. Rangers, Oilers, Avalanche all have the same odds. Panthers are fourth, Bruins, Stars, Hurricanes, and Canucks kind of long shots, but anybody's cup right now.
And Brian Anderson mentioned it could be Knicks, Celtics, Rangers, Bruins for the right to go to the finals or final in their respective sports. Fun stuff. Well, playoff overtime hockey last night going down. Deshaun Foster, UCLA football coach in studio hour two. Still here, everybody.
A little I-95 conference finals for both sides. That'd be fun.
We're not driving. You're taking the train.
Train, yeah.
Taking the train?
Yeah, of course you're taking the train.
More people are driving than take the train.
Connecticut. You don't want
why wouldn't you take train. Why wouldn't you take the train?
But I'm just saying more people drive. You gotta get to a train station.
What's that drive?
I've never driven Boston to, New York. Boston. Yeah, like two and a half.
Boston to New York? It's 5 hours. What are you talking about?
Boston to New York is not 5 hours.
Excuse me. I lived in Connecticut. It took 2 hours to get from Hartford to Boston, and that's close. The midway point.
Wait. I don't think it's five, though. I would say
I don't know what you're.
It's 5 hours from my house to New York.
Brother, if you went from Boston to New York in 2.5 hours, you took a helicopter part of the way.
Or a boat. I'll pull one of
I lived in I lived in Bristol for
it says
7 hours. Years.
Yeah,
four.
Exactly.
Learn how to drive, people. If it takes you 4 hours, you're not good at driving.
They've also never been on the Merit.
Exactly. I was
gonna
say.
Kidding me?
It takes 2 hours to get
out of
New York.
Here.
Right, come on.
Huskins invariably, there was some construction in New Haven that would you just be cursing your head off.
Learn how to drive.
Monaco.
Learn how to drive.
Agreed. It was 5 hours.
It takes you 4 hours. Learn how to drive.
The other way is go.
You're blaming the other driver.
Leave it to the professionals.
How about blaming your sense of distance?
Leave it to the professionals.
Just take the L and move on.
I think we're because learn how to drive.
Who lived there more recently? You or me?
Me. I lived in Connecticut in 2002.
Well,
I moved out here in 2009.
Oh. All right. Well, I know better still then, I guess.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.